Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
So welcome to today's podcast. I have with me Jane Leach. Now, normally you'd know I would introduce the person, but I'm going to let Jane introduce herself today and she'll share some information and some stories as well. And as usual, I'll keep interjecting and asking more and more because I'm sure that everybody listening wants to find out as much as they can about to help their progress in their business and in their life and as a person. So, Jane, welcome. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you. Thank you for asking me. I guess I'll start with a little bit about my background. You can tell from my accent, I'm from the UK, from the north of England, Yorkshire.
I thought it was New Zealand accent. No.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding.
So I get often asked if I'm Irish. I came out to Australia in 1997, so I've been here for quite a number of years now. And I was newly married back then when I arrived and went through some experiences through my marriage and came out the other side of that and had to basically restart my life. So from a point of really having no support network.
New country.
I'd lived here for when I left that marriage, I'd been here for 10 years, mm-hmm. but hadn't developed very much of a social network or a support network. It was just very much close family that I had around me. And so basically I had to start again from that point, which has been, you know, a good 8-9 years since then. So I've had a lot of experiences. I've sort of gathered myself a lot of knowledge, left the corporate world. My background was in retail management and banking, basically. I kind of moved around in the banking world a little bit and sort of specialized in business banking for a while. And was made redundant from that eventually. And it was around about the same time that my marriage ended. So it was a big period of change for me that I had to navigate through. So,
I'm sure there's quite a number of people that are listening have been through, I mean, that both the job change and the situation, the family change are very significant. Mm. And to, you know, I'm sure there's people who are going to be able to truly relate to your story and the offering that you've got today. Thank you, Jane.
Yeah. So, you know, fast forward now, I've pretty much based my business around my life experiences because I've got those very, very personal, deep insights into what women go through when they're in those situations, the things that they have to deal with day to day and the challenges, the personal challenges that they have in navigating through all those situations. And they're very much deeply linked to their own personal core beliefs and their emotional state. So, yeah, that's where my business kind of grew from.
Mm. So tell me more about who you work with and what you do.
I work with women and I work with women who are predominantly feeling they're at a place where they're quite stuck. They don't really know which way to turn. They've got quite often, you know, a business that they're developing or they're in a line of work that they want to progress through or it may be something even just a personal thing that they want to achieve, some goal that they have, but they're finding themselves held back in some way. And generally that's linked to very deep core beliefs, which then in turn bring up very intense emotions. And we often have a lot of self-judgment, a lot of self-criticism going on. And it ends up being a cycle of behaviors and certain patterns that keep repeating in people's lives. And it's important to break that cycle, that pattern, and actually going in to find out what's actually at the root cause of that is where I can actually be very helpful. So, for instance, I know that you've had a lot of women come in and talking about their businesses, about time management, procrastination, getting on top of your finances and your business bookkeeping. There's often blocks, emotional blocks, sitting behind those physical actions that we know that we've got to take, but we can't actually identify what it is that's deep down, that's that, what is that thing that's stopping you going into the office and getting it organized? What is that thing that is, it's like the rubber band effect. It's like you can stretch so far, but then it keeps snapping you back. What is that thing? And that's where I can actually go in and help.
And because you're particularly working with women, are they more receptive? Do they accept the change?
Absolutely, I think so, because men tend to work on a very logical basis, very linear, very logical. They can see the steps and they don't really have much emotional resistance to following those steps. Women are very different. They're very cyclic and they're very emotional, very emotionally based. And that often is the thing that gets in the way. It's not a tangible thing. It's not, I don't have time, I don't have resources. It's that emotion. And women are far more emotional. We have the more left brain, right brain connectivity going on. So there's a lot more activity. So we have more to work with in terms of what perhaps can get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense. Mm. I was at an event the other night and somebody asked a man, if you have self-doubt, what do you do? And it was interesting because he said, well, nobody's ever asked me that before. And so we were, you know, all ears trying to find out what he did as possibly different. You know, we don't want to genderize things, but and his answer was, I go get more information.
Mm-hmm.
And I just found that really quite an empowering answer. If I don't know why I doubt myself, then I go and find out more information about it. And it was probably a great insight into that different type of thinking that you're talking about
too. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't know how many women go and do the courses, read the books, you know, do the workshops, and, you know, they know what outcome they want. They know what they want to do. But even with all of being armed with all of that information, sometimes it's not enough because there's that roadblock that we can't actually identify. It's still sitting there, and it's something that could have been learned from early childhood. It could have been, someone else's experience that we've taken on, someone close to us. I had my grandfather, who I love dearly, told me one time, one of my aspirations when I was young was to become a model. I'm very tall. I was always very slender. And it was something that I wanted to, you know, go into and try out. And he was being very protective of me at the time, and I know that now. And he said, you'll never make it. Don't do it. You know, concentrate on your schoolwork and follow that path. And I was devastated at the time because I took on that I wasn't good enough. And that was my belief for a long time. And it was an innocent comment by somebody who loved me that gave me that belief that I couldn't actually get through that until in later life when actually I identified it. But it's something like that that sits as a core belief that is very subconscious. It's an unconscious belief. And until you can actually go in, work your way through and identify where it is and release it, it's probably going to sit there and, you know, and fester for a very long time.
Yeah, and block opportunities, isn't it?
Yeah, because I'm not good enough stops so many people in their tracks.
Mm. And women take on a lot of different roles, don't they? Sort of, you know, they're the nurturer of the family as well, and they're the healer and usually the peacemaker and the counsellor and the community builder and you know, more often than not, that cornerstone of the family. So I know you found this within your journey yourself is trying to be that be all to all.
Yeah. It's, you know, often we don't have a choice. Many women are single parents, so they are everything to everybody. But it's managing that and those roles and managing to nurture yourself in and amongst that as well, which is the key. And you can run and run and run until you're absolutely ragged, and then you're going to be absolutely no use to anybody. And, you know, you end up running on empty. I quite often sort of use the analogy of the car. You know, you can't keep driving a car and without servicing it, without, you know, changing the tires, without putting fuel in it, and, you know, without giving it an oil top-up every now and then. But we expect to be able to do that to ourselves quite often. You know, we run ourselves until we're actually, you know, driving ourselves into the ground before we'll stop and actually go, wow, I think I need to take care of myself for a while. And it's when bits are falling off that we actually notice.
Yes,
we need
and
to do something.
Even though we've been given reminders somewhere along the way, the universe has come in and said, hey, you need to pay attention to this. We sometimes miss all those signals until we get a big whack around
the
head.
A big hit in the face, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I know you said that, you know, when you embarked on this journey yourself, that you were fearful, you were dreading your future.
Yeah, that was at the point when I left my marriage. It was I was looking at my future, and I literally didn't want it. It was something that I couldn't face going through, and I had to make a very, very big decision at that point and leave that marriage and create a new future for myself. I literally had to create a new future for myself and work out what it was that I do want, rather than knowing what I don't want. And focusing my attention on the positive things that I want to bring into my life, rather than, you know, ruminating on all the things that have gone wrong in my life or what I perceive to have gone wrong, and creating something brand new, rather than just, you know, trying to drag myself out of the old.
Yes, and to recognize that you deserve more.
I definitely deserve more, for sure. And that's where that self-worth comes in, because if you've been in perhaps a relationship that hasn't been a nurturing one for a very long time, you lose that sense of self-worth and self-esteem and confidence. And that has to be rebuilt as well quite often. So, yeah, I was full of self-loathing. I didn't like myself very much. I was very disconnected. I didn't relate to people very well because I'd been so insular. You know, back in the UK, I had a lot of close friends and family around me all the time. But here in Australia, I didn't manage to build that again for a very long time. So it was hard. It was very hard. But there's always been a part of me, a sense that I can do anything if I put my mind to it. And I think many people do have that, but it's so squashed. It's so diminished. And it was diminished in me, but it was still there. And I was in such a distressed state, but I managed to find that help that I needed. And I have all of that experience and knowledge now behind me that I use to help other people to get through the stuff that they're going through. It may not be necessarily as extreme as the things that I went through. It was, you know, a domestic violence situation that I was leaving, and I literally was starting again. It may not be that extreme for many women, but I can relate my knowledge, and I can give people some insight and relate it to their situation. And
being able to, when you can associate with something, you can recognize it, and you can, and we're always the best from standing outside and looking in someone else's life and going, yeah, wow, this you know, amazing opportunity, and there's just those few steps that just need to unblock things to create the changes.
Yeah, that's right. It literally is just a different perception often that's needed, a different way of looking at something. Rather than looking at it as a challenge that's insurmountable, look at it as an opportunity to learn something.
Yeah, and I know you now. I've known you for a while, and you're a great networker. You know, the amount of people you have in your network now is quite astounding. And congratulations on being that person that does develop those contacts. But I know you've done that because you've taken responsibility.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. And that's really the only way anybody is going to make a change in their life, that they, if they've you know, can see where they want to change, they want to make a change, it's the only way, it's the place to start. It's the only place to start is to actually take responsibility for it, because if you're blaming your situation on other people or other situations or outside forces, whatever it might be, you are disempowering yourself and you're doing yourself a great disservice, because the power lies with you and you alone to make those changes.
It certainly does. Mm. And that's something that I truly believe we need to share with our daughters
absolutely.
And our granddaughters to yep. empower them. So, yep. Jane, who are you?
Well, I'm a mum. I'm a daughter. I'm a sister. I have three sisters. I've got many, many friends, only a handful of close friends, but I've got many, many good friends around me. And I'm a businesswoman. Yeah. And I'm somebody who didn't like who she used to be and where my life was going. And it was at that point I decided to make that change. So I guess you could call me a change facilitator, which is, you know, I've had a lot of experience in my life in making some big changes. I left home at 17, bought my first house when I was 19, traveled the world, you know, got married at the age of 30, had a lot of experiences, you know, through my 20s and into my early 30s and came to Australia. So, you know, I couldn't really have made any bigger change in my environment than I did back then. And managed all of that process with a belief that I really could do anything. That sense was very, as I said, that sense throughout my marriage was very much diminished, and I thought I'd lost it. But, you know, I got to the point where I call it the point of change. When people get to a point where the thought of staying the same is more painful than the thought of making a change.
Yeah, that's the tipping point, isn't it?
It is the tipping point. Yeah. Mm. So it's that catalyst moment when it's, you know, you really don't have a choice. You have to do something. If you imagine yourself living your life as you are now for the rest of your life, and that doesn't appeal to you, then something needs to be done.
That's and as we're both visual people, I know if, you know, you create that photograph of 5 years, 10 years down the track and see if that's exactly where you want to be. It's a very powerful statment, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And then if you don't, then what changes do you need to put in place? You may not be in a relationship you don't want to be in, but you may be in your business, you know, or it could be working in corporate and wanting to go, no, I've got more skills. I want to be working in my own business. You may be in your own business, but you're not getting the results that you want or the freedom that you want and find that you're restricted to being there. So how can you make those changes? And
yeah, exactly right. I mean, you could be in a job that, you know, you quite enjoy doing, but your creativity is stifled. You don't have the ability to develop. You don't have the ability to bring in your own ideas and implement them. That, you know, if you were to change what you do day to day in your life and create your own business around what you, you know, may essentially be doing already, but run your own show, you can bring in all of that creative side, you know, and creativity, when it's stifled, is quite damaging. It brings a sense of a big sense of I'm losing the words now. Being unfulfilled.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 And feeling that there's something missing. So what is it that, you know, we get to a certain age usually, and it's getting younger and younger. I notice, you know, younger people are more aware now that they have that capacity or the opportunity or the right to be able to ask the question, you know, what am I missing? What do I want? And, you know, sometimes when we're sitting from a more senior position, we judge that, saying that it's a sense of selfishness, but it's a sense of self-service, I believe, that you're in a place where you can sit and communicate to yourself what you're due and
Yeah.
Because you've overcome that self-judgment and what am I due in this world and if how am I going to get it and what changes do I need to make?
Yeah. And I don't necessarily believe being selfish is a negative thing.
No.
Because too many women are completely selfless and overgiving and, in fact, quite self-sacrificing, which is far more negative in my opinion because that woman's potential is never going to be reached. She's never going to, you know, realize her own dreams and hopes because she's far too busy serving everybody else.
Mm.
So selfishness, I don't think, is a negative thing when it comes to someone wanting to develop their own self-worth and follow their values and their path that they want to follow. You know, women of my grandmother's era completely sacrificed their entire lives for their families, which, you know, we're taught that that's a noble thing. I think it's a slightly religious viewpoint that, you know, you give up yourself for others. I don't necessarily subscribe to that.
I've got two grown sons, as you know, and now an adorable grandson and one more that I'm going to get an opportunity to love even more on the way. But what and what I made a decision many years ago is to be the best I could be and have the most resources that I could have, whether emotional resources or intellectual resources or financial resources, so that I could be the best parent I could be.
Absolutely.
And that's been a huge benefit along the years because my sons, even as grandsons, know that they can come to me for the advice they need or the occasional loan, but that paid back, as children do. But that was to me a lot more beneficial to them than to be in there washing their clothes for them or you know, doing tasks for them as a demonstration of love as opposed to having the resources there for them. So it's very much what you're talking about.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I've gathered a lot of knowledge and wisdom over my years. I'm only in my late 40s. You know, I'm by no means, you know, the in the upper echelons of the you know, the three stages of women's wisdom. But, you know, what I can actually talk to my daughter and my son about, I didn't get from my parents, you know, and I think a lot of people of my age have very much missed out, you know, on our parents actually being given the opportunity to go on that learning journey. And I don't necessarily think it's a sad thing. It's just, you know, the way life has developed for many people, and we all take our own experiences and we all grow from those experiences. And that's the key. You have to be willing to use your experiences to grow. Don't view them in a negative way. Don't view them as something that's holding you back or something to be, you know, ashamed of or to be angry about or to be sad about, or, you know, all of those negative things that we can get stuck in that cycle of victimhood that, you know, something has happened to us. If you can take those experiences and learn what you can from them, move forward and use those experiences and share your knowledge.
Yeah, sometimes the greatest learning experiences in our lives are from the worst experiences, aren't they?
Absolutely,
yeah. Even if we know never to repeat them. So what do you do? You know, what do you when you're working with your clients particularly?
Well, I guide women to be able to leave behind that victim status that they possibly have had, that they've been at the mercy of circumstances or their, you know, their genetics or whatever emotions that they've got happening for them right there and then, and to start to step up and step into that vibrant self, because there's a vibrant woman behind everyone who's feeling a bit crap, you know, a bit crap about life. Everybody's had times in their life where they felt fabulous, they felt outgoing, they felt motivated, they felt passionate. And I like to think that I can take someone back to being that on a more regular basis, that it's a bigger part of their life. It becomes a bigger part of their life rather than the biggest part of their life being the struggle with the occasional good time.
Okay. And so how do you actually go through that process?
Well, we do a session basically, mm-hmm. and we work through some questions, and we get to the point where we are identifying the emotional blocks and the beliefs that are sitting behind what that person wants to achieve. So, you know, it might not necessarily be a conscious understanding of what's going on, but we can go through a process that actually gets into the subconscious, and we start to draw that out. It's not, you know, I'll ask you what's going on and you tell me. It's a little bit more complex than that, but it's not a hugely complex process. It's very gentle, very easy, and doesn't take a long period of time. It's not like going to a psychologist for 18 months where you sit and talk for an hour, which many people I know, and I've done it myself, have done.
So from that process, what do people gain?
Clarity. Clarity about themselves, basically, an understanding of what makes them tick, because we're all very different people. I do a little bit of profiling, so we can, you know, work through some identifying questions around what type of personality you are and what kind of behaviors that you prefer. So for instance, you know, there's the DISC profiling system, there's the HDBI system,
all the different Briggs,
yeah, Myers-Briggs. There's several different ones, and I kind of pick and choose from a few to sort of, you know, identify where they sit, you know, predominantly. And that's not to say that that's a set thing, because you can move between different types.
And I know we've talked about this before. We do similar work, and I tend to use that with the sales coaching as well.
Yeah.
And it's more for, rather than, well, the benefit is knowing where another person's coming from. But
yeah.
The huge benefit is knowing where you're coming from.
Yeah, yeah. You get some insight into yourself and, oh, that's why I do that. Mm-hmm. Oh,
I know. We're stuck with those traits. It's who, you know, that's really the depth of who
we are. But the interesting thing is, once you identify it, if it's serving you, you can keep it. If it's not serving you, if it's a problem for you, you can start to do something about it, you know. But then, you know, after that stage, we go into the more deep subconscious work. So I sort of go through a semi-hypnotic process with a particular kind of question in sequence that that can draw out, when we identify what emotion is going on, we can start to release it.
I imagine that would be extremely powerful for people that have got some really set blocks, you know, that to be able to recognize them in the first instance. So I know there's common fears that a lot of us women hold, particularly, again, coaching sales. I know there's certain fears out there. So we go, we tend to call it reluctance in sales as opposed to a downright fear of cold calling, or we're just reluctant to do it. But it is fears.
It's fear. It's it's definitely reluctant, because you're always reluctant to do something you're scared of. Mm. I think the biggest one for women, particularly if you're in a sales environment, if that's one of the things that you need to get over, if it's that resistance to actually going out and talking to people, or resistance to making that approach or picking up the phone, whatever it might be, it's fear of judgment, and it's fear of rejection. What if, you know, someone said no? Oh, my God. That's the biggest, scariest thing for a lot of people.
Because the imagination, the mindset is they're saying no to you personally.
Yeah.
As opposed to your offer.
Yep.
Which is, you know, you might be offering ice to Eskimos, so they don't want your offer.
Yeah. And then that spirals down into failure, which is another big fear for people, is fear of failure. Oh, my God, and what are people going to think of me, you know? So the fear of failure and the fear of judgment are very much linked to each other. So when you're in a sales environment where you have to, that's what you have to do every day. oh my God, that can be enormous for, you know, an enormous emotional charge for someone.
Yes.
Fear, and a big struggle.
Fear pushing, of failure.
Yeah. A big struggle uphill.
And I imagine people, and I've come across this again with women as well, with fear of being exposed.
Mm-hmm.
You aren't who you say you are, and
yep.
you're not as good as, especially if you've got, you know you've got that product. It's that fear of being an imposter is mm-hmm. even greater, I think, than the fear of judgment, because
yeah.
who are you to tell me that you know things that,
yeah.
that you,
yeah,
I,
yeah.
you think I should know as well?
Yeah, or, you know, you get yourself into a situation where someone questions you, you're not quite prepared for that curvy question that comes in. Oh my God, they really know that I'm not as good as I claim that I am.
Mm.
You know, because that's what we tell ourselves, we're not as good as we claim we are, even though we've got, you know, all the knowledge, we can recall it, it's, we've got everything that we need in front of us, that there may be that one question that comes in that you might need to look up, or you might need to ask someone, but we take that on as a failure.
Yes.
You know,
I have to share something. Mm. I was in a pitching contest recently, and I wasn't prepared. I'd been presenting in New Zealand and then holidaying, and I was not prepared. So I allowed myself a day to memorize something. I don't memorize. I just know my stuff. And after about 2 minutes of going through the pitch, hit the blank moment, absolutely blanked out. So what seemed, and I know that happens. I coach in professional presenting, and it's the first time it's ever happened to me. We've just lost the moment because it was very prescribed, and I had to memorize, and I'd already talked myself into knowing that I wasn't prepared, and I was able to pick up and catch up, you know, and what seemed like 12 minutes to me was probably 12 seconds to the people on stage. But it's that then reevaluating what you did and how you did it and being able to reframe it. And thankfully, I know how to do that, and it didn't affect the rest of the day. And I was actually able to offer advice to others because I knew I'd blown it. So I spent the day working on helping others. But being able to get into a situation where and I'm coaching presenting and I blew it, you know, that's even trickier.
Mm-hmm.
But so you can really take it where you're going to be feel judged all day, and that people you're taking on what you think they're doing. But or as I was able to do is switch it around and able to offer back to people and get a whole lot more credibility back than what I was doing. But again, it's that one question. If you allow that to throw you, if you allow that sense of self-judgment to come in, that's the biggie, isn't it, Jane? Mm.
It is. And one of the things I can work with women on is actually turning that around so that we can get rid of that inner bitch, that inner critic, and bring in a more gentle, more nurturing inner voice, if you like, because it's that voice in our head that's you're this, you're that, you're, you know, change that inner voice to one that is supportive. And one of the things I do is talk about your inner child, basically, and how you would nurture that child. Mm-hmm. In a real life situation, you know, you wouldn't talk to it harshly. You wouldn't talk to her negatively. You wouldn't judge her. But that's what we do to ourselves. So if we can relate that inner child to your own being and be more gentle and more nurturing with her, and then you start to turn things around and you start to open up. You start to be more receptive. You get to be more creative. And you become less judgmental of others as well.
Yeah,
so you have that sense of acceptance, firstly of yourself, all of your faults and all of your good points, and also of others, because we're all just doing the best we can at the end of the day.
Mm. Yeah, that's extremely good advice. We are all just doing the best we can with what we've got.
Mm.
So if we want to do better, we get more.
Exactly right.
As that gentleman earlier, self-doubt, what he's going to do? He's going to learn and read more and get more information so he won't doubt himself. I'm sure you've got some stories of some really success stories. Would you mind sharing, no names, of course, but we don't want to know people's details, but, you know, where you've seen people move from and where they've got to?
I've got several, yeah. One was a very kind of off the cuff. It wasn't a client as such. It was a lady I met on the train, and she was a young girl. She was in her early 20s, and she looked a bit flustered. And she sat beside me on the platform when I was getting on the train, and asked me if I knew how to fix a broken phone. And I said, "No, I don't. I'm afraid. Sorry." And she followed me onto the train, and she got on the train next to me and sat very close to me and began to chit-chat. And something in me thought, oh, I was actually sitting there just putting my headphones on and kind of wanting to, you know, listen to something on the train on the way into the city. And but something sort of, you know, told me, oh, you need to listen to this girl. Anyway, for the whole journey, it was almost an hour-long journey into the city, she told me about this horrendous domestic violence situation that she was in the process of leaving. And I just allowed her to talk. And you know, I don't know, it was a very odd situation, and I guess I was just in the right place at the right time, as we often are with these things. And I looked her in the eyes and I said, you know, are you choosing to change this for yourself now? And she looked me back and she had the biggest, bluest eyes. I'll never forget them. And she just looked at me and she said, yes, I want to change. And, you know, often it's just a few words from somebody. If you allow someone to speak and you can listen, if you, you know, put your own thoughts and your own preoccupations aside for a moment and just listen, you can make the world of difference in someone's life. And she said, yes, I do want this to change. She had all she had with her was a carry bag, you know, like a duffel bag, and she had nowhere to go. She was going to meet a friend who was hopefully going to find her somewhere to stay. And I said, okay, I'm going to give you some numbers and I want you to do this, this, and this. And she burst into tears. And we got off the train at Central together, and I walked her to the office where, you know, the guy in the office could tell her where to go to find her next train. And she just gave me the biggest hug and thanked me, and she was on her way. And, you know, I thought, if people just did that a little bit more often, you know, took some notice of what's going on around them, you know, many more people would be able to find the help that they need, because so many people have got resources. They don't realize they've got resources often. You know, they might have a phone number in their phone that they can give to someone, or they might know somebody who, you know, can help, but they've got resources. So
I suppose, and that's quite a very powerful lesson. And I mean, you know, I'm very much into serendipity, and that all happens for a purpose. But for me, the lesson out of that is one is to be able to listen without judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's part of the fear when people, why people don't tell their stories, because they feel that they will be judged as a lesser person because they've accepted a situation where others, you know, put a label on it.
Mm.
But also to be able, for me, what I particularly got out of that story as well is to pay attention.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
To be observant to other people around you as well, because as, you know, the universe, God, whatever your belief system works around, that woman was put in your care for that journey.
Yeah.
So to be able to be paying attention, because we don't know what's happening around us, and when we shut off to the moment And of course, as you just said, that we know stuff as well, and we've got things that we can, and to take that extra moment to be able to not just pay attention, but to be able to assist as well is powerful. And that's within the stuff that you do, isn't it? It's being able to recognize all of those abilities to be there as to listen without that judgment.
Yeah, because, you know, the most important part, I think, is listening. For the clues, and just getting people to expand on those clues that they're giving. You know, they might not necessarily think it is of something of great importance, but just a word or a phrase that's phrased in a particular way by that particular person, you can go in and question, oh, why do you think that? Or where did that come from? Or, you know, how does that look for you? Or and get people to kind of open up and expand on those thoughts that they don't necessarily understand why they're thinking. But they're thinking a particular way because of certain conditioning or certain beliefs. You just have to question that sometimes for another perspective to come in, and then a catalytic change can occur. You know, I had one lady at an event that I was running who was listening to the speaker. As you know, I run a series of events called Inspiring Events, and women come along and tell stories about things that have happened in their lives and you know, events that they've gone through. One lady was sitting in the audience, and her aha moment was, and she was having issues around starting a business and fears and blocks and, you know, how am I going to do this? And she sat listening in the audience and just basically thought, they're just like me. Oh my God, I can do it. You know, so it's not necessarily in a client kind of situation that some of the biggest things that I've seen going on around me that I've been part of, you know, that's not necessarily the way it happens all the time. It's everyday life. You know, you can have an influence on people in everyday life. I do work with clients who had some massive changes, big kind of freeing up of very deep negative, heavy negative things going on, you know, stemming from child abuse and violence and, you know, some very, very difficult things that people have had to live with over many, many years, and certain aspects of their emotions have been released and reduced and just evened out, and they're able to kind of, you know, see life and move through life with a very much more balanced perspective.
I'm throwing on the spot here now. So for three takeaways that you would say, look, if you're thinking of making change in your life, these, or if you're not sure how to make change or how to clear blocks, what would be the three points that you could offer our listeners?
Get clear on what it is you want just for the sake of you wanting it, not because you've lived with something and that's what you don't want. Actually take some time to sit down and really think into and really feel into what it is that you do want and why you want it, what it's actually going to give you in your life. So, for instance, if you want to you want to lose weight, if you relate that back and sit in the place where, oh, I'm fed up of not being able to fit into my clothes, or I don't like people looking at me and I can see that they're thinking, oh my God, she's so fat. If you're coming from that negative space, you're keeping yourself held in that negative space. Now you have to kind of flip it, I guess, to what are the benefits of you losing that weight, and forget about losing weight. Let's start thinking it in terms of reaching your goal weight and framing it in a positive way, rather than pulling it out of the negative, losing the weight and rather than slimming down.
So something like visualizing yourself in that dress that you absolutely adore and seeing yourself, more than just visualizing.
Well, even more than that, what's it going to do for your life? Mm-hmm. You know, think about that in terms of the increased energy you're going to get, the way that you're going to be able to interact more socially. You know, there's many, many things that losing a good deal of weight is going to do for you. You're going to be healthier. Your joints are going to be, you know, not as painful when you get older. You are going to be a lot more mentally clear. Your thought processes are going to be better. You're going to have less fogginess because the types of foods you're going to be eating are going to be cleaner, and, you know, you're not going to be in that place of feeling guilty when you eat. You know, you're going to be using food as fuel, not as comfort.
So rephrase that for me, please? That one point, just that first point of working in the positive of what the result you want as opposed to what you don't want.
Yeah, yeah. Work out what you want because you want it, mm-hmm. not because you've had something and that's what you don't want. Yeah.
Okay. Any next second point?
Make sure you're supported. You know, if you decide there's changes you want to make, you need to let the people around you know and make sure that they support you in that change. Mm-hmm. Because quite often you can make some changes and people don't like, you know, they're challenged. They don't like it and they want to bring you back to how you were because it serves them better sometimes. So you need to be, you need to have the people around you on the same page as well if it's a big change that you're wanting to make. You know, if you decide that you want the family to be more involved in looking after, you know, the household or, you know, doing more around the house, you have to kind of have communication around that. You can't just suddenly say, right, I'm not doing this anymore. You guys have got to do it. There's got to be a lead up. So, you know, you've got to have some communication around what your intentions are and having everybody involved and get them, you know, in that positive mindset again as to everybody comes down to what's in it for me.
And I know there's a quote that you refer to quite a bit actually when you're talking about asking for help.
Yeah. Mm. Well, we kind of often consider that asking for help is a sign of weakness and it's an indication that we can't cope or we're not good enough in some way, but that's really not the case. It's the opposite, in fact. So recognizing that you need help with something is actually a strength. You might need some nurturing. You might need to re-energize. You might need some time off or, you know, recognizing that isn't actually a sign of strength. It's a sign of maturity. And it's your feminine wisdom and grace that is stepping in and putting, you know, in putting your hand up there and saying, I actually need some help with this. I've just done it recently and, you know, begun working with a coach, which I've resisted for so long because I'm the kind of person that thinks I can do it all myself too, you know.
We do it on a whole lot of levels, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, putting your hand up and just saying, hey, all right, help me out here.
Yeah. And that quote, that your strength lies in knowing when to ask for help.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. So second point is asking for help.
Well, I think that was
getting
the third.
Getting
people on board, just being on the same page and, mm-hmm. Having people understand that these are reasons why you feel this needs to happen. And also you can tie it in with what's going to be in it for them in the long term as well to kind of support you.
Yeah. And anything else, any other point in particular when it comes to change or making changes that is a takeaway?
The biggest resistance comes right before the biggest breakthroughs. So there is going to be some fear coming up, but it's important to push through it and focus on the end result rather than the obstacles that might be coming up along the way. So it's always good to just sit back and take stock of how far you are coming in getting towards what it is you want to achieve and don't beat yourself up if it's not as quick or it's not exactly how you imagined it because, you know, the path's often a little bit squiggly. It's never straight from here to there. And it's it's important to be very gentle with yourself when you're going through this process and non-judgmental and stop that inner bitch.
Yeah. And on the point, because it can show up as physical as well, can't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Not just that fear and emotional, but you can be sort of having one physical ailment after the other without realizing that. I remember a friend of mine had this terrible shoulder pain for ages and across the top of her back and straight out of my mouth came, so what load are you carrying?
Yeah, absolutely.
And she just burst into tears.
Yep. Yep. And I've had the same. I've had a shoulder operation in the last couple of years and, very much relating back to the having to carry a huge weight and a huge responsibility. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, it does show up, doesn't it? Absolutely. Is there anything else that you want to add particularly? I know you run some events. Do you want me to tell me about the events that you run?
Well, yeah, Inspiring Events. I've been running for about 18 months now, and Inspiring Logan Women in particular is my baby.
We have for those listening that aren't in Logan, you may have heard Logan mentioned in the past that it is in Southeast Queensland. It's sort of a very dynamic part of Southeast Queensland.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here, that's for sure.
It's the most multicultural council in Australia, and it's just got incredible stuff happening.
And it's right between Brisbane and the Gold Coast, so there's a lot going on. Yeah, there's a lot of activity here. We've got a great business community, especially a strong women's business community, which I love. So I invite four guest speakers to come along once every 3 months to talk about some aspect of their life that they've had a challenge with. I've had wide varying, very, very different people coming along and sharing some experiences that they've been through. And it's not a pity party. It's a very much an empowering and very much inspiring environment. We focus on what people have got out of these experiences, how they've moved forward and how they've used them to actually build something or create something. And it's very, very powerful. It's a very nurturing and very safe environment for women to be really vulnerable about the experiences that they've had and their thoughts and feelings without being judged.
And obviously, I know they're fundraising, those particular events. So where does the funds go with that?
The funds go to the Life 2 Project, which I'm the founder of as well, which is a series of retreats that I've developed for women who've been through domestic violence. So we're running one in September, actually. So,
Good news.
Yeah.
I know that's been a baby of yours. So that's
for a long time. Yeah. A long time. Yeah. Yes. So it's happening. It's in its birthing stages.
Excellent. So have you got a date for the next Life 2 Project event?
The speaking event, the Inspiring Logan Women. It's going to be, I've actually just put it back to November. It's going to be the first Thursday of November. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
First Thursday evening.
Yeah. And they're always on a Thursday night because it just seems to be a night that's convenient for the majority of people.
I think it's a night you're used to going out for shopping anyway.
Exactly.
So you may as well go out and be inspired.
Yeah, yeah.
I've attended up at quite a few of these events and certainly been inspired by the amazing speakers. Mm. And it's a great opportunity to contribute as well to the fundraising for that very worthwhile
Exactly,
project.
Because the area that I focus on with the domestic violence issues is where women have come out of the situation. There's a lot of support at the crisis point, or when people women are leaving the relationship and going through a refuge. A lot of support there, but where I identified where there is no support is after that. So when they're out back on their own and trying to reestablish their lives, they're often challenged with taking care of children, having to work, having to find money to pay rent, how to juggle all of that, and being emotionally challenged and being financially challenged in having a limited income, loss of assets. So we look at addressing the emotional and the financial issues around that, but once they're past the crisis phase, so once they're getting back out there and resettling themselves.
And your coaching business, you do that as a group thing or one-on-one?
It's one-on-one mostly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one-on-one. Yeah, because I find just that I can really get into the this, because it's some very personal issues.
Certainly is. Yeah. Now, how can people get in touch with you, Jane?
I've got two websites. I've either got the Life 2 Project website, which is life2project.com.au. You're welcome to contact me through there. There's a form there, and I think my phone number is actually available on there too. Or my other website, which is my personal one-on-one facilitation website, which is janeslightleach.com.au, which is...
And Jane and Sleight is spelled S-L-E-I-G-H-T.
Yeah.
Dash or hyphen, however you like to call it, leach.com.au.
Yep. Yeah, and my phone number's on both of those websites, so you can just give me a call.
Yeah, look, I really appreciate all of the information and the advice, and I'm sure that the people listening have – there's been something in there that I'm sure everyone's gone, wow, that's been – I've connected with that, and and I understand – even understanding where you're coming from personally and being able to take it to a different place. So thank you very much for contributing, Jane, and that's another success secret of a female mastermind.
Thanks, Janine.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.